Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the record of the interaction between God and his chosen people of the Old Testament, the narrative is long and varied for any who have cared to read the entirety of it, but over the centuries and centuries, a pattern emerges. The people of God begin in a state of close intimacy with God. And then, generally speaking, the people of God get very comfortable and accustomed to living in the benefits and favor of God. Slowly and by increments, they begin to wander away, and eventually they begin worshiping every false god placed before them, and they develop a very relaxed law for themselves, and before long they're flat out disobeying the law of God who loves them. God is patient then, sometimes for lifetimes, sometimes for centuries, and that at some point the commonly used Old Testament metaphor comes true. The cup of wrath is full. And just what you would expect would happen, like a chalice that is full to the brim, when more is added, the wrath begins to overflow. The people of God then begin to experience the wrath of God, and the punishment for their ages of sin manifests. And then, seeing the emptiness and fruitlessness of their wanderings, seeing the devastation of the wrath of God, the people of God repent. If you want to know why fasting and ashes are a part of the beginning of a season like Lent, it's because for millennia, this has been symbolic of the recognition that though we have begun to believe that we are really something, that we really have begun to act like we could do quite well without God, the actual truth is much, much different. The words we recall when we receive the ashes are those of God said to Adam just after the fall in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Today we've heard from the prophet Joel, and he speaks to the people of God at a time when the cup of God's wrath was full to overflowing, and there was drought and blight and famine and an all-around disaster facing the people of God. And Joel says multiple times in those short three chapters of his book, words like these, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land in the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Throughout the Old Testament, repentance is done by changing comfortable clothes into sackcloth, and by switching from the oil of blessing to ashes. And why? To have people remember before the cup of wrath is full that from dust thou art and to dust thou shalt return. What are we trying to do in the season of Lent? The church is giving the people of God an annual chance to corporately and intentionally break that cycle so common to humanity that ends predictably in the wrath of God. We're putting on the ashes of repentance before that day and before our Easter, which is the true day of atonement. We've heard this day not only from the prophet Joel, but from our Lord himself in the Sermon on the Mount. He encourages the people to the same end that we're aiming at today, with a little caveat. Don't ruin this opportunity for humility and repentance by making a big show of it. Have you ever known someone who is prone to brag about their humility? Have you ever done it yourself? Ever heard someone proud of the extent to which they fast and pray, and to the very properness by which they execute these devotions? Very proud of their alms that they give. And if you've not met anyone like that, you've heard of them in Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the publican, where the Pharisee says, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." For us who are encouraged to pray, to fast as the Pharisee did, to give tithes of all that we possess, just as the Pharisee had done, we may add also, "I have gone so far as to put ashes on my forehead." If the humility of Lent is to be a banner of vainglory or pride, then it is a failure before it begins. But that is not the spirit in which we enter this season. God forbid that our season of repentance and drawing close to God, our season of crying out, "Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner," this season of walking with Jesus 40 days and 40 nights, that it should be for nothing. We do not wear sackcloth, but the devotions that we take on intentionally to discipline ourselves for this season, we begin with repentance and austerity, which is the same as putting on that sackcloth, not so that we may brag about our devotion, because it is the way that the Lord has taught us to behave. That's why. We wear ashes on this first day of Lent to remind ourselves of the sin of Adam, the curse of which has been passed on to us, the sinful proclivity to try and live apart from God, the source of life, is leading us once again to the dust and ash from which we're created. Sin must be, therefore, repented of, done away with, because salvation is on the horizon. The path that we walk with Christ in humility has a destination, not just the long slog of walking a narrow path, but a true home that we head to, and that is a destination of glory. The path we walk is not one for outward show, but a path of the will, of the heart, and of the soul. We are to short circuit the pattern of sin that we see over and over in the Old Testament at the point of the beginnings of the wandering and the sin, before the rebellion results in wrath. So join the church this Lent and earnestly repent, and shall we say sackcloth and ashes, for every way that you have strayed from the straight and narrow path. Repent that you have once again fallen short of the glory of God. And then get down to it. Wash your face, anoint your head, that you may not appear unto men to fast, your Father in heaven will know. And lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.